RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Success in oil fuel BBM single price policy depends on infrastructure. Indonesian Minister Sri Mulyani says no more corruption in Taxation Directorate General. Now the news in detail. Success in the policy of administering single price for oil fuels. Single price for oil fuels or BBM all over the country would depend much on the availability of adequate infrastructure, especially in eastern part of the country, such as in Papua. Peggy Patipi, lawmaker from the Commission 7 of the House of Representatives, said on Sunday, December 4, in Jakarta, the government has taken a right decision by setting the price of BBM in Papua the same as in other regions of the country. She said the people of Papua have suffered from injustice over the past years as they have to pay a much higher prices for BBM than in other regions of the country. She cited BBM is available at a price of 6,500 rupiah per liter in other regions of the country, but in Papua the price could be as high as 100,000 rupiah per liter. If the government did not immediately attend to infrastructure problem, it would be difficult to maintain the policy in Papua. She said development of land transport infrastructure between districts areas in Papua is expected to be completed only in 2018. She also added the connectivity will help in the implementation of the policy to create a single price of BBM all over the country. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani recently has said in Jakarta there would be no more corruption in the Taxation Directorate General. The statement is more an expression of strong will than a promise as the minister, even with the strong backup from the president and the Corruption Eradication Commission, could not alone free the institution from the evil of greed. Sri Mulyani herself has said officials have committed corruption not by necessity but more by greed. When the government is in high gear to increase tax revenues through its tax amnesty program and preparing new tax database, a tax official was arrested by the KPK. The finance minister disgustedly expressed disappointment with what the official had allegedly committed, saying it is a betrayal of the principle of good governance. Sri Mulyani thanked KPK for the help in uprooting corruption in the institution. She said she would strengthen and tighten control, and evaluation would be made of all employees to prevent more cases of corruption in her ministry, especially Taxation Directorate General. At least 13 state prosecutors have prepared their indictment for a blasphemy case implicating non-active Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama or AHOC. The first trial hearing is scheduled for Thursday. One of the prosecutors who requested to remain anonymous set on Sunday, December 4 in Jakarta. The first hearing of the trial is scheduled for Thursday, where the prosecutors will read the 7-page indictment against Ahok. On the other side, Jakarta Prosecutor's Office spokesperson Waluyo said he could not confirm the hearing scheduled. The office has only asked to give support to the prosecutors from the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office submitted Ahok's case dossier to the North Jakarta District Court last Thursday, along with 51 pieces of evidence. Ahok was charged for allegedly violating Articles 156 and 156A of the Criminal Code on Blasphemy. Ahok was named a suspect by the National Police on November 16 for a controversial remark he made. The Indonesian government is mulling over installing more air navigation systems and upgrading existing technology in Papua in effort to improve flight safety in the country's easternmost province. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said on Sunday, December 4, in Jakarta, both technical factors and human error had contributed to the high number of aircraft incidents in Papua, one of the country's underdeveloped regions. He said the first thing the minister need to do is to repair and upgrade air navigation systems in Papua, which still lacks such technology. Minister Budi also highlighted the importance of intensifying disciplinary measures for pilots so that they could be more careful when flying over Papua. He said that the pilots might be overconfident and take dangerous maneuvers, which are not allowed by the regulations. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said about 900 pilots are still unemployed in Indonesia and pose a specific challenge to the government. The minister said, after launching a campaign on flight safety in Jakarta Sunday, December 4, the ministry has two challenges, namely competition and unemployed pilots. Competition is no longer among regions only, but also among countries globally. In the educational sector, we have a big problem where a total of 900 pilots remain unemployed. The solution that has been offered is the improvement of pilot quality by organizing training and increased skills. The minister said there are many pilots which are not accepted by the company because many of them yet to have the qualified skill. The minister said if the minister provide them with compensation and additional skills, they can be recruited and accepted as pilots because they really are needed. He also added pilots should also follow the process through flying small planes such as Cessna, Caravan, or ATR before they fly wide-body planes. The Environment and Forestry Ministry takes the conservation area as one of the supporting pillars of national development by campaigning against any forms of violence toward plants and wild animals. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar in Jakarta Monday, December 5, said the conservation forest reached 16% from the total of Indonesian forest, which is 130.68 million hectares. Minister Siti Nurbaya moreover added, the area should be managed by a multidimensional approach and comprehensive so that the protection and natural conservation can be run along with the Indonesian economic development, which is part of the entire national developments. The last item, West Sumatra Governor Irwan Prayitno invites all officials in West Sumatra province, including in Marine and Fishery Division, as well as people to maximize the existing marine potentials in West Sumatra. West Sumatra Governor, when opening the National Seminar of Opportunity and Potential of Maritime in the Indian Ocean region in Padang, West Sumatra, on Monday, December 5, said, West Sumatra has 7 cities and regencies that have much marine potentials. However, the potential has not been maximized for the prosperity of people. Governor Irwan Prayitno also said, to maximize marine potential to be a source of prosperity of local people cannot be only realized on fishermen, but it must be conducted by various parties, including officials in the maritime and fishery sectors. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Success in oil fuel, single price policy depends on infrastructure. Minister Sri Mulyani says no more corruption in taxation Directorate General. That was the news. Listener, today's commentary entitled Treason. Indonesian National Police Polri on Friday morning, December 2nd, arrested 11 people suspected of conducting treason. But seven of them were discharged after being examined for 24 hours for subjective reasons. A musician and also a candidate for deputy region of Bekasi was also released, although being charged with Article 207 of Criminal Code, while three others are still being detained and subject to Article on Information and Electronic Transaction. It is reasonable that the police conducted the arrest, because before the police had earlier suspected the treason suspects would hurt the mass prayer participants when they returned home after the mass prayer activities on Friday, December 2, 2016, into the Parliament building. The police said, due to the large number of mass common prayer centered in the National Monument, there was a possibility that they were disgruntled and could be utilized. But the police did not wait for it to happen and straightly arrested the suspects. The police did the strategy to maintain the purity of the mass prayer service at the National Monument Square, Monas, and eliminated various indications of vulnerability as well as the possibility of exploiting the masses. But on the other hand, there were also opinions that the treason allegation was too far. The arrest by the police was regarded merely as preventive effort. Actually, according to Article 87 and Article 107 of Criminal Code, treason is an action or an attempt to overthrow the legitimate government. Treason is defined in the Criminal Code as doing, planning, and agreeing together. There are planning and implementation phases. If we look back the history, actually, treason cases have occurred when Bung Karno was still the president of Indonesia. An Air Force pilot named Daniel Maukar attacked the Merdeka Palace by fighter aircraft. Fortunately, in this incident, Bung Karno was not in the palace so that he survived. Daniel Maukar, who involved in Permesta rebel group, was later convicted for acts of treason against the state and also the president. He was sentenced to death but was eventually pardoned by President Sukarno. He was only in prison for 8 years before he was finally released when Bung Karno had not become the president of Indonesia. Until now, Indonesia is still struggling to restore themselves toward the unity and integrity as shown in the 212 Super Peace event. It would be nice if the Indonesian political leaders have the awareness not to slander one another. It was unfortunate that the 2nd December peace action was followed by the arrest of several prominent figures with a treason allegation. Whether the allegation is true or not needs to be further proven. But we can imagine when will happen to this nation if the rebellion or a power struggle occurs. No more peace. The national economy will drop, easily entered by foreign invaders, separated even can be colonized again, at least economically. Hopefully, the leaders of this country can resist and control their ego and ambitions for the sake of the people, who long for peace and prosperity within the framework of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listen
honor, we meet again in our daily program, Today in History. We begin our program with an event that happened on December 5, 1958, when National Nuclear Energy Agency was established. The development and use of nuclear technology in Indonesia was started from the establishment of the State Commission for the Investigation Radioactive in 1954. The State Committee has the task of investigating the possibility of radioactive fallout from nuclear weapon testing in the Pacific region. By observing the development of utilization and use of atomic energy for the welfare of the community, the government through Regulation No. 65-1958 on December 5, 1958, established the Council of Atomic Energy and the Institute of Atomic Energy, which is then refined into a National Atomic Energy Agency, Batan, under the Act No. 31-1964 on basic provisions of atomic energy. Furthermore, each December 5th, which is a historic date for the development of nuclear technology in Indonesia, has been designated as the anniversary of Batan. The next event was in 1939, when Stalin Constitution was adopted. The 1936 Soviet Constitution, adopted on December 5, 1936, and also known as the Stalin Constitution, was redesigned by the government of the Soviet Union. Beginning in 1936, December 5th was celebrated as Soviet Constitution Day in the USSR until the 1977 Soviet Constitution moved the day to October 7th. Before 1936, there was no Soviet Constitution Day. The Constitution repealed restrictions on voting and added universal direct suffrage and the right to work to rights guaranteed by the previous Constitution. In addition, the Constitution recognized collective social and economic rights, including the rights to work, rest and leisure, health protections, care in old age and sickness, housing, education, and cultural benefit. The Constitution also provided for the direct election of all government bodies and their reorganization into a single and uniform system. It was written by a special commission of 31 members chaired by Joseph Stalin. Those who participated included Andrei Vyshinsky, Andrei Zhadarov, Maxim Litvinov, Klement Voroshilov, Vyacheslav Molotov, Lazar Kaganovich, Nikolai Bukharin, and Karl Radek, though the latter two had less active input. And the last event was in 2013, when Nelson Mandela died. Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela was a South African anti-apartheid revolutionary, politician and philanthropist who served as president of South Africa from 1994 to 1999. He was the country's first black head of state and the first elected in a fully representative democratic election. His government focused on dismantling the legacy of apartheid by the tackling institutionalized racism and fostering racial reconciliation. Ideologically, an African nationalist and socialist, he served as president of the African National Congress ANC party from 1991 to 1997. Mandela was a controversial figure for much of his life, although critics on the right denounced him as a communist terrorist and those on the radical left deemed him too eager to negotiate and reconcile with apartheid supporters, he gained international acclaim for his activism. Widely regarded as an icon of democracy and social justice, he received more than 250 honors, including the Nobel Peace Prize, and became the subject of a cult of personality. He is held in deep respect within South Africa, where he is often referred to by his Xhosa clan name Madiba, and described as the father of the nation. He died on December 5, 2013. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. In today's edition, we'll bring you the government's target to reduce fruit imports. Social Minister Hovifah Indar Parawansa made a working visit to Jember, East Java on December 3rd, focusing on the city forest in Sumber Sari District, which is part of the area for planting trees, especially fruit seedlings of Indonesian archipelago. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Hovifah appreciates the region's fruit planting movement as an integrated part of all Indonesia's need to maintain balance and support of the environment to reduce the occurrence of natural disasters. Minister Hovifah said, almost every day natural disasters such as floods and landslides happens in Indonesia because its natural vegetation has been damaged. The city forest, she said, can provide capacity reinforcement in caring nature conservation. During the visit, Minister of Social Affairs also planted durian of Musangking type, said to be the best in the world. Reportedly, about 10,000 tree seedlings were planted in the city forest. With the planting of fruits, it is expected that in the next 5 years, the trees will bear fruit and there will be no more need to import. The minister also expects a variety of fruit tree seedlings planted in the city forest of Jember become investment to reduce the import of fruits consumed by the people. The planting of trees in the city forest should be followed by a number of parties to maintain the natural supporting capacity, which is very important efforts to conserve nature and to avoid disasters. Meanwhile, Forest City Manager H.M. Arum Sabil explained that planting various fruit species of the archipelago and other tree seedlings in the city forest will provide oxygen's availability in Jember. Earlier, Horticulture Director General of the Ministry of Agriculture, Sputnik Sujono, when campaigning love fruits of the archipelago in Jakarta, Sunday, said his office will implement fruits development policies directed on commodities with high commercial values that support the growth of community interest in the cultivations of fruit. As quoted by Compass.com, Sputnik Sujono said, to encourage competitiveness and local fruit productions, various efforts have been made. According to him, the government has made efforts to boost exports by revamping and asking all the regions to develop fruits by adding acreage. He said the Ministry of Agriculture will oversee the good cultivations and post-harvest. Sputnik explained there are several typical Indonesian fruits such as mangosteen, banana, mango, pineapple and orange, potential for exports to Asia, Arab and Europe. The archipelago has many kinds of tropical fruits with nutritional value and it's good for health, so Indonesia has the potential to become the world's tropical fruit suppliers. Meanwhile, increased productivity and quality of the fruit are conducted through making production centers into regional commercial scale, integrated with business operators. Listener, that was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Success in the policy of administering single price for oil fuels all over the country would depend much on the availability of adequate infrastructure, especially in eastern part of the country, such as in Papua. Peggy Patipi, lawmaker from the Commission 7 of the House of Representatives, said on Sunday, December 4 in Jakarta, the government has taken a right decision by setting the price of BBM in Papua the same as in other regions of the country. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani recently has said in Jakarta there would be no more corruption in the Taxation Directorate General. The statement is more an expression of strong will than a promise as the minister, even with the strong backup from the President and the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK, could not alone free the institution from the evil of greed. At least 13 state prosecutors have prepared their indictment for a blasphemy case implicating non-active Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama or Ahok. The first trial hearing is scheduled for Thursday. The Indonesian government is mulling over installing more air navigation systems and upgrading existing technology in Papua in efforts to improve flight safety in the country's easternmost province. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said, both technical factors and human error had contributed to the high number of aircraft incidents in Papua, one of the country's underdeveloped regions. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said, about 900 pilots are still unemployed in Indonesia and pose a specific challenge to the government. The minister said after launching a campaign on flight safety in Jakarta, on Sunday, December 4, the ministry has two challenges namely competition and unemployed pilots. Competition is no longer among regions only, but also among countries globally. The Environment and Forestry Ministry takes the conservation area as one of the supporting pillars of national development by campaigning against any forms of violence toward plants and wild animals. West Sumatra Governor Irwan Prayitno invites all officials in West Sumatra Province, including in Marine and Fishery Division, as well as people to maximize the existing marine potentials in West Sumatra. West Sumatra Governor, when opening the National Seminar of Opportunity and Potential of Maritime in the Indian Ocean region in Padang, West Sumatra, on Monday, West Sumatra has 7 cities and regencies that have matched marine potentials. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit North Sumatra to see the beauty of hidden paradise, namely Tangkahan. Stay tuned. Listeners, Tangkahan is an area at National Park of Mount Lauser, Langkat Regency, North Sumatra. This area is flanked by Namo Sialang and Sieserdang Village. Tangkahan tourism object offers spectacular scenery and also fresh air. Rivers at Tangkahan are very clear and clean. Tangkahan is also known as a place of wild elephants. Listeners, various kinds of trees which grow as well as vegetation of tropical forests combining hills make Tangkahan become not only a tourism object but also a place to learn about nature, life, creatures, fauna and flora. If you want to go to this tourism object, you should pass Batang Serangan River, which has heavy stream. At the river, there is raft as transportation. You do not have to worry when crossing the river by using raft, because there is a guide who will accompany you. Tangkahan Forest, a dance of wand, where there are river, waterfalls, springs, valley, and even rare plantations such as Rafflesia. More recently, many foreign tourists have been interested in visiting Tangkahan. They consider Tangkahan as hidden paradise in North Sumatra. Listeners, Tangkahan area with the longest list of bird and also mammal species, which reaches around 380 species of birds and 129 species of mammals, give opportunity to tourists to observe various kinds of biodiversity and fauna. the topography of hills with cliff is suitable for someone whose hobbies are rock climbing, hiking, and camping. A unique activity which is rarely found at other tourism objects is an opportunity to bathe the elephants and ride while exploring the woods. When you are tired, you can try to refresh yourself by taking a bath under waterfall. Listeners, to access Tangkahan tourism object is not difficult because there is transportation such as bus which is ready to take you until the destination. The tourists from outside Sumatra Island from Kuala Namu Airport can use Damri bus to Pinang Baris Terminal and continue to Tangkahan. It takes around 4 until 5 hours. Arriving at Tangkahan, there is usually a guide who is ready to take you to various destinations. If you want to stay at night, you do not have to worry because there are many lodging at Tangkahan. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonderful today featuring Tangkahan, a tourism object in North Sumatra. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Mencari Pekerjaan, which in English means looking for a job. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Mencari. Mencari, which means to look for. Pekerjaan. Pekerjaan, which means job. Sudah lama. Sudah lama. Been long time. Tidak jumpa. Tidak jumpa. Not see. 3 tahun. 3 tahun. 3 years. Perpisahan. Perpisahan. Farewell. Or separation. Sekolah. Sekolah. School. Bekerja. Bekerja. To work. Menganggur. Menganggur. Unemployed. Setiap hari. Setiap hari. Every day. Sekarang. Sekarang. Now. Belum berhasil. Belum berhasil. Not succeed yet. Penting. Penting. Important. Putus asa. Putus asa. Hopeless. Bertemu. Bertemu. To meet. Minggu depan. Minggu depan. Next week. Ngobrol. Ngobrol. To talk. Tukar. Tukar. To change. Informasi. Informasi. Information. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Mencari Pekerjaan, or in English means
looking for a job. The conversation is between A. Dodo and B. Tomo. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Dodo: Hai Tomo, apa kabar? Hai Tomo, apa kabar? Which means, Hai Tomo, how are you? Sudah lama kita tidak berjumpa. Sudah lama kita tidak berjumpa, which means long time see you. B. Tomo: Baik-baik saja. Baik-baik saja, which means I'm fine. Sudah hampir 3 tahun tidak bertemu Anda. Sudah hampir 3 tahun tidak bertemu Anda, which means I've not seen you almost 3 years. A. Dodo: Ya, sejak acara perpisahan sekolah. Ya, sejak acara perpisahan sekolah. Which means, yes, since school farewell party. B. Tomo: Apakah kamu sudah bekerja? Apakah kamu sudah bekerja? Which means, have you got a job? A. Dodo: Saya belum bekerja. Saya belum bekerja. Which means, I do not work yet. Kamu? Kamu, which means, how about you? B. Tomo: Saya juga belum bekerja. Saya juga belum bekerja. Which means, I also do not work. Setiap hari, saya mencari pekerjaan. Setiap hari, saya mencari pekerjaan. I look for a job every day. Tetapi belum berhasil sampai sekarang. Tetapi belum berhasil sampai sekarang. But I do not take it up to now. A. Dodo: Yang penting kita tidak boleh putus asa. Yang penting kita tidak boleh putus asa, which means we must not despair. That's important. B. Tomo: Betul. Betul, which means right. Bagaimana kalau kita bertemu lagi minggu depan? Bagaimana kalau kita bertemu lagi minggu depan? Which means, why don't we meet again next month? Kita bisa ngobrol dan tukar informasi. Kita bisa ngobrol dan tukar informasi. Which means, we can share experience. A. Dodo: Baiklah, sampai jumpa. Baiklah, sampai jumpa. Which means, alright, see you. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Operator Evil Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present you an Indonesian talented singer, Sumiati, who will dedicate Kroncong songs. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Bandar Jakarta.
Thank you.
listener, Bandar Jakarta is a song which tells about the city of Jakarta. It is not about greatness of the metropolitan city in the night, but the song tells about another side of Jakarta. The song describes the beautiful atmosphere of coastal Jakarta in the twilight. The wind, the boat fishermen and birds flown to their nest. That is the natural beauty on the edge of Jakarta beach. Besides Sumiati, the song has also been dedicated by other Indonesian keroncong singers. The song Bandar Jakarta, including one of Indonesian original keroncong songs, which is long-lasted and can be enjoyed until nowadays. Listener, now we continue to enjoy the next song entitled Kicir Kicir. Listener, the song Kicir Kicir is an original song of Betawi or the old Jakarta. The cheerful song is then dedicated in a keroncong gender. The song, which is extremely familiar with the people of Betawi, has been known well, not only in the country, but also abroad. The song Kicir Kicir also becomes one of the national songs, which often be performed in the international level events. Listener, Sumiati is a sister of Mus Mulyadi, an Indonesian famous singer. Sumiati previously ran her career as a keroncong singer in the Netherlands. She came back to Indonesia coinciding with the death of Soekarno, Indonesian first president. Listener, now we conclude the regular music corner for today with the last two songs entitled Sunda Kelapa and Gambang Semarang. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Nusantara kepulauan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Mereka
bersukaria, gelak tertawa semua orang karena hati tertarik gerak-gerik si tukang gendang. Empat penari
suatu hari tanpa sengaja kita bertemu. Aku yang pernah terluka kembali mengenal cinta. Hati ini kembali temukan senyum yang hilang. Semua itu karena dia. Oh Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia. Jauh waktu berjalan kita lalui bersama. Betapa di setiap hari ku jatuh cinta padanya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.